to session 4 of the Motivate Your Child Action Plan audio series. It's in this session that we want to talk specifically about one ingredient that ties things together really well. Now remember, we're sharing this before we even share the individual pieces of the plan with you, because this one ingredient is so important. At one point I was trying to diagram all of this, and I put this as the central piece, and then all the 5 other things around the sides. We ended up not using that diagram, but it expresses the importance of this one specific tool that we use to move children from point A to point B. We want to emphasize in this session the idea of relationship.
Relationship is so important as we're working with our children. Relationship is not just an add-on or something that's expected. Hey, we're all in the family together so we can enjoy relationship. Relationship needs to be intentional. As we're working with our children, we want to be looking for opportunities to build relationship in ways that are strategic for that particular child. Relationship is a tool to accomplish so many other things, but we can't take relationship for granted. We want to be intentional.
I think we better define relationship here. How do we know when we're doing it? I think that's going to be an important question, because there's a lot of things that people assume are relationship that really aren't. I remember that when we were homeschooling our children, we used to get done with the day as parents and say, okay, I'm going to go work on my own stuff, and realize that our children still lacked some significant relationship building. First, we were saying, well, what are you talking about? We just spent 4 or 5 hours working on schoolwork, thinking that was enhancing relationship. That's one of the reasons we homeschooled, was to build relationship, but realized that the homeschool experience for us was actually doing some taxing of that relationship as we were trying to get things done and move through the list of tasks. And although we tried in the midst of that to be gracious and gentle and do those things together as on a team, there was always this sense that it was work. And so we needed to add something more. So at the end of our day, we realized we still had some more work to do in the relationship department.
And I think that's really helpful for us to realize as we're working with our kids, just spending time with them does not necessarily build relationship. Spending time with our kids is good. Of course, it's important to have time with kids, but how we spend that time is going to vary. And some of it is relationship building. Some of it is just getting the tasks done of family life. And often accomplishing task is not going to credit toward relationship building when it comes right down to it. Often doing of tasks drains the relationship, and we want to be building back into relationship in some other ways.
Eating around the table has the potential of producing relationship. Driving kids around in the car has the potential of doing that as well. But it doesn't always guarantee that it takes place. Sometimes meals are miserable and driving in the car is like a torture chamber. I would suggest that if we're going to define relationship in terms of our goal here, it has to do with emotional connectedness. Are we connecting or feeling connected with our child so that there's a sense of closeness that we're achieving in that moment? Relational connectedness doesn't always take the same form. It can happen at strategic times when we plan it, but sometimes it happens spontaneously. But we're looking for those times we can emotionally connect with a child.
And this is so important as we're working with our kids, to be looking for those opportunities and to be studying our children. You see, if we're going to do heart work, if we're going to help our children grow on a heart level, we need to connect with their hearts. But that doesn't happen the same way with every child. And so getting to know our kids becomes so important, knowing how do I connect with this particular child's heart? How do I connect with the other child's heart? It's going to be different. The answers to those questions are very individual. And so as parents, we want to be thinking about our child. What are the opportunities that I have with this child that help me to feel close to my child? But then also, what kinds of things do I do that help my child to feel close to me? Those are important questions that take some analysis, I think, as we're working with our kids.
That's because every child's different and every parent's different. I think we have to structure time into our schedules that involve activities like eating together or driving together or just spending time in the evening playing or watching a movie together or something that has activities that are in common. Because it's often in those activities that we have the arena in which relationship can be fostered. It doesn't guarantee that relationship takes place, but if we plan those times into our schedules where we're tucking kids in bed or sitting with kids at breakfast time, or we're just spending some time talking to our children, in the midst of that, then we have opportunities for the relational connectedness to take place.
Now, some of that happens in a group setting. As a family, we're having fun together, or as a family, we're enjoying specific traditions that are unique to our family that we enjoy together, some rituals we have together as a family. And that provides relationship through connecting as being part of a family. But then there's also a connectedness we want to have with individual children. We want to feel close, one-on-one with a child. We want them to feel close to us so their hearts are open and soft. You see, values are passed through relationship. And we want to be working on that relationship, not just with an agenda, but just to enjoy the child, to allow the child to enjoy a closeness with the parent. And that touches their heart in some really special ways.
I would suggest that there are several A's that we can use to think in terms of connecting. And I just want to mention several of these, and these might be helpful for you as you're trying to analyze or experiment with your child to see which of these work. Some of the A's will be more effective than others, but let me list some. One is affection. Affection is that connected physically, connecting. Another is affirmation. That's that sense of admiration or saying that I believe in you, kind of comments that we make with kids. Another is acceptance, be able to accept differences that we have with that other child. Another is appreciation, where we're trying to say thank you and reflect on specific ways that that child has contributed to your life personally or to family life, and therefore you want to thank the child. That's appreciation. Another one's activities. Activities has to do with just common things that you enjoy doing, where you engage in an activity that the child enjoys. Each one of those A's might help you to analyze and figure out what might be good in your particular home.
What you want to do is look at your relationship with your child now. Maybe there's a particular child that you're thinking about as you want to develop an action plan for working with that child. And before you start writing out your action plan, we would suggest that you analyze your relationship with that child, that you put some handles on how you connect with that child's heart. Is this a child who likes physical affection, likes to be hugged, likes the hand on the shoulder, likes to feel close to you physically? Or is this a child who likes to be listened to? You just need to spend time making eye contact with the child, listening to their stories without interrupting them. What is this child particularly like as far as relationship is concerned? And I think as parents, sometimes we have to step back and ask ourselves those questions. Are we making time in our day to meet that child's emotional needs?
When we work with a child to try to build relationship, we recognize that some children need more emotional connectedness than others. Some kids seem to be pretty independent, able to deal with their own selves well without a lot of parental involvement. Other kids seem to need a lot of attention. We see that attention-getting behavior sometimes in kids, just indicating that some kids need more. And we aren't trying to treat all children equally. We're trying to give each child what that child needs. So look for ways to meet those specific needs with your child, to try to touch your child in a way that your child needs to be touched.
But I think sometimes that child who doesn't need a lot of relationship, we have to be more intentional because the child is not coming after us. They're not following us around. They're not interrupting. They're not getting in our way, seeking out that relationship. It's the quiet child who kind of is independent that I think we need to be seeking out. And again, looking for ways to build that relationship, being available. If they decide they want to tell a story, stop everything and listen to that child talk. If other people are prone to interrupt that child, make sure that they're not interrupting because you want to listen to that one child. So looking for opportunities to connect with that quieter child, I think, is also strategic if we're going to work in that child's life.
Makes you think about the prodigal son's father's situation. He had one child that was very demanding and wanted to go off on his own and do his own thing for a while. But he had another child at home who also needed attention. those kids were very different. One seemed to be more compliant than the other, strong-willed and self-willed, wanting to do his own thing, but both needed attention in a way that ministered to their specific needs. Parents tell us all kinds of things that they do to meet their child's needs. One mom said, "My son likes me to sit next to him. I mean, we could read, watch TV, or I could watch him play a video game. It doesn't really make any difference what we do. He just likes it when I sit next to him." There was an emotional connectedness that mom discovered with her son when she did that particular activity. One dad said, "My daughter likes me to look into her eyes and give her my full attention. I have to put down my cell phone or try not to let it disrupt our conversation because that really bothers her. She wants to be connected and a period of time when we can just interact together without interruptions." Other kids don't seem to have that problem, but in this, with his daughter, he needed to relate that particular way. Another mom says, "I like touch. And I try to touch my son, but that doesn't work because he doesn't like that." It's not so much the parents' needs here we're looking at in order to emotionally connect with the child. It's what does the child need? If we can, in that sense, look at what our child needs, then we can demonstrate kindness to our child in a way that considers those needs. So sometimes we try to give our kids love gifts that are based on our desires, and I think that's good. Sometimes that does connect with kids. But many times they need to be loved in ways that we don't typically like to give. And that's where it can become quite challenging for parents to think outside of their box. Loving becomes difficult. It's then we're demonstrating that agape love, that sacrificial love, where we're giving in a way the other person needs as opposed to just satisfying ourselves.
Another issue that often comes up when we talk about relationship is how kids change over the years as they're developing. And in different developmental stages, our kids may need some different things from us as parents in this area of relationship. Some parents find that it's easy to connect with a young child. And when their child is going through those toddler years, the preschool years, there's a lot of tickling and physical closeness, reading stories, laughing together, watching silly TV shows, and just having fun together. But as a child gets older and develops some different interests away from the family, they have a harder time connecting. Just the time issue in and of itself, when kids are in school or they're playing sports, they're not home as often, it may be harder to connect with the older child. We would suggest that sometimes with teenagers, we feel like we have so many things to do in the parenting department of instruction and correction, and we have limited time with them, that we may squeeze out the relationship building time. Don't do it. Relationship building is key with teenagers. We want to stay involved in their world. Even if they're communicating in one way or another, they don't want us involved. I think we need to be involved in their interactions. We need to know who their friends are, the kind of activities they enjoy doing. We want to stay involved with our teens, building relationship, not always just correcting and instructing. So looking for those opportunities with older children becomes a part of the plan as we're working with our kids.
What we've tried to do here so far in this session is talk to you about how to connect with your child. In the chapter, we're talking about foundational connecting points and supplemental ways to build relationship. We're just talking about how. But I'd like to stop for a moment and talk about why. Why is relationship so important? Because when we understand that, then we're able to maneuver through the plan that we're developing with our child more effectively. Let's look for ways that we can take our plan and we can infuse it with relationship to maximize the benefit that our plan provides. I would suggest that one of the reasons we want to build relationship with kids is because it decreases the tension. A child, for example, who tends to be rather uncooperative, resistant, is a challenge. It's hard to work with that child. Every time you try to do something, you get resistance. Often building relationship reduces the tension because the child then has something invested together. The child is then more willing to work on things, less willing to make a sarcastic remark or say something hurtful because the relationship level is high. If the relationship level is low, there's not much to lose. And so children tend to be able to take advantage of that. But when we have a high level of relationship, then we go in and we say, "Hey, would you help me out here and do this particular thing?" Then a child seems more responsive. So relationship decreases the tension, in a home, and particularly decreases the tension between specific relationships when our relationship is higher in the relationship between that child and the parent.
I think also a strong relationship keeps children closer to family values. When they realize that the family is a safe place, a loving place, a place where they feel comfortable, then they're more likely to continue those values in their own life that they've learned growing up. So we want to make sure that the family is not a place where they feel criticized, they feel unwelcome, they're uncomfortable because they're always being picked on. But the family is a place where they just enjoy being. And the family values are a piece of that and a part of that. And as we're trying to pass on our values to our children, we want to make sure that it's all a part of relationship. We have these values, and relationship is one of them, that we affirm one another, we're honoring to one another. In this family, relationship is important. We value you. And that's something that we want you to take into your adulthood as well.
I think that the idea that relationship is the vehicle through which convictions and values is passed is very important. We want children to understand many of the things we have to offer them. And sometimes kids are resistant to hear some of those things, but it's through relationships. Just think about the times that you've been able to have significant conversations with your child and share something important, a value or a conviction that you have. It happened in relationship. So we want to be able to connect with our kids relationally in order to make that happen. I like that idea, Joanne, about how we want to make one of our values the strength of relationship. You might set up some rules in your home that say, we don't hit each other, or we don't make those kind of sarcastic remarks. We are honoring to each other in the family. That establishes our identity as a family, that relationship is more important than humor, that relationship is more important than getting your own way. And so helping our kids understand that relationship and embrace it as part of a family value is also a good idea.
See, the reality is that as children get older, teenagers, they enjoy spending time with friends. We want them to realize that the family values are something they can take with them. Sometimes they see their friends' homes and families that don't have strong relationships, and they see the contrast there. We want them to realize that the home our children are growing up in is special, and that the relationship with parents don't need to be shunned and avoided, because that's where they're going to feel affirmation, affection. They're going to feel valued. And so they're going to have strong relationships with their parents, in addition to enjoying friendships outside the home. So those relationship values become key as our kids are moving on in life and seeing differences outside the home. We want them to know that home is a place of relationship.
Another benefit of having strong relationship is that it becomes this, shall we say, a bargaining chip, or it becomes this motivational piece we use in the interaction with our kids. You may come to a child after you've strengthened relationship considerably and say, you know, I notice we have some tension in the morning. I'd really like to work on our morning routines a little differently, and I'm willing to make some changes because I want our relationship to be strong in the morning, too. Now you've got a bargaining chip that says, I value relationship, I'm willing to change, let's try to apply that to the way we interact in the mornings. Or when you're correcting a child, you might say to a child, you need to take a break. What you're doing is hurtful right now, you're being mean to me. You need to settle down. We don't treat each other that way. Come back when you're willing to work on the problem and value the relationship we have at the same time. That's a way of correcting a child that uses the strong relationship as a tool to make that work. The same thing can be true in the instruction routine. When we say to a child, we give instructions, we're saying, hey, look, I have to give instructions. I want to give instructions in a way that keep our relationship strong. We have a good relationship together. How can we continue to have that good relationship when I have to go through the job of giving you instructions? If you've got some ideas for me, I'd like to hear them. I have to give instructions to you, and you have to respond to them. We make choices about how we're going to do that, and keeping our relationship strong in the process is important. And so now we've used relationship as this kind of bargaining chip that says it's important no matter what we're doing, even in the business of parenting. We want to try to establish and keep relationships strong.
I think that's really helpful as we're working with our kids, particularly in the correction process, to value relationship in the midst of correction. And that has several different facets to it. One is that as a parent, I'm correcting a child in a way that still values relationship. So in the correction process, the parent is not demeaning or degrading the child, not using anger or some kind of force with the child. But even in correction, the parent is honoring the child in the way they talk and communicate. I think also in correction, we want to call relationship into this. You know, I value our relationship together. The way you're acting is damaging our relationship. I want you to think about that because relationship is really important. And so using our correction strategies in the midst of relationship, I think is going to be helpful to really appeal to the child's conscience, to touch them on a heart level, because they hopefully are valuing the relationship as well, as we've taken time to make that important part of how we're relating, is that relationship is important. And so as we're correcting the child, helping them to see that their actions, their opinions need to be shared in a way that's honoring as well.
Let me make some clarification about relationship, because I think there are a couple of errors that parents fall into when they're trying to build relationship. One has to do with the area of tolerance. Some parents tolerate a lot more than they should in an attempt to build relationship. Now, I do believe as parents we need to be tolerant, because sometimes our children are annoying and we can't criticize them or correct them for every little thing they do wrong. However, some parents become so tolerant in order to protect relationship that the child's character really decreases greatly. So we want to look for ways that we can still be firm while having a high level of relationship. That's going to be very important. Another area where we find ourselves making errors has to do with indulgence. Some parents indulge their kids with all kinds of things, thinking that that's going to strengthen a relationship. They see their children pleased. There seems to be a gratefulness sometimes, sometimes not. But there's a sense in which the child seems responsive to the gifts. And so parents sometimes overindulge children, again, decreasing character, increasing selfishness. We have to be careful about that. It's often wise to look past gift giving to other alternatives for connecting with a child's heart so that the child can learn some very important things about love. Love, relationships are important. We don't want to get sidetracked in some of these other areas that are really a misconception, I think, or an error. When we fall into those errors, then we end up losing in another area of our relational connectedness with our child.
So what we're looking for is a soft heart in our kids. And so we want to evaluate our relationship building strategies. Are they drawing a child toward a soft heart, toward closeness, emotionally connecting with our child? Do we feel closer to the child because of a particular thing that we've done or said? Does the child more open to us? Those are the kind of evaluations I think will be helpful as you try and figure out how to connect relationally with a particular child. What am I seeing? Is the child feel more open to me because of this or less open?
Sometimes parents think that just lecturing to their kids somehow passes the values on. But the reality is, usually those values are passed on not through lecture, but through some kind of relationship, an experience that they have together in a short comment here or there. I think that some kids have a difficult time with this emotional connectedness. It's really hard. Some kids, you study them, you try different things, you just don't seem to be able to make it through. Having a conversation with those kids can be challenging. So let me just share with you some levels of communication that I think would be helpful for you to consider, particularly for children who are difficult to touch. The first two levels of communication aren't really about the heart, but the remaining three are significant heart development tools in the communication process. The first one is greeting kids. Every morning, every night, when they come home from school, "Hi, Bill. How you doing, Bill? Hey, good to have you home, Bill. Welcome home. Good morning." All of those things are greeting. It's like the oil in the machine that children need.
I think greeting is very important. Sometimes we feel like because we're so familiar, we're together in the home so much of the time, we can bypass that greeting level. But I think it's key for building relationship. It's just affirming that other person. "I'm glad you walked into the room," basically what we're saying. "I like being with you. I enjoy you." And so we say good morning. We say good night. We are not just individuals maneuvering around each other in this building. but we're a family living in a home. And so those greetings, I think, are very important to be intentional about, to be greeting our children and to be encouraging them to greet us, to greet one another as a way of affirming relationship in the home.
A second level of communication has to do with facts and information. Talking about the weather, class, homework, schedules. Talking about time of day, what day it is, and where we're going today, what's going to happen in this next week. Anything that we can talk about that has to do with facts or information. It may be discussing things about sports. It doesn't have to be about business and family life. It can be about entertainment. But the idea is it's facts and information. It doesn't share much depth, but it's just exchanging some basic facts about life.
And again, I think that's important for building a relationship to be talking to one another about the facts of life. What are you doing today? How did your day go? Just information, because it gives us a key as to what the child is doing throughout the day, but also what they're interested in. What are the important facts in their life? Get them talking and spend time listening.
The third level now moves us into the heart. And we can do those first two levels are non-threatening. As soon as we move to the heart, then we're getting some information. Sometimes parents actually are threatened when they find themselves in the heart of a child because now they get some real stuff. Be careful here. When you get there, you might want to listen and not quickly respond. Think about things before you respond back, because when a child starts to open up in the heart, it's like a sea anemone opening up. And as soon as you poke it, then he closes back up quickly. So when a child starts in this third level, which has to do with opinions and judgments, what is your opinion about the weather or the baseball team? Your opinion about where you sit in class? What kind of judgments do you have about the way your teacher teaches? Or judgments about my parenting? Those are opinions and judgments, and now we're in the heart, and that's a third level of communication that's significant. When you see it happening, take note, you're in the heart of a child.
And I think we need to be careful as soon as we get here, because when children share opinions that we don't agree with, sometimes parents are quick to counter that opinion and try and correct the child and change their opinion. And really what we want to do is listen. We want to hear their opinions. These are keys to what's going on in the heart. They may be inappropriate opinions as far as we're concerned, but we want to be listening. And there may be some time to offer some alternative facts later to adjust an opinion. But mostly, if we're going to build a relationship, we want to listen to their opinions, affirm the fact that they're sharing, and that's an interesting opinion. It's an interesting thought about that. And help our children to feel free to share their opinions with us.
The next level of communication has to do with emotions. How does it make you feel when you get out of school? Do you feel encouraged, hopeful, relieved? What does that feel like? But many times in the midst of the challenges, you're listening about kids' opinions, you can ask questions about how it makes them feel. And sometimes they're unaware of that, but it's helpful to dialogue about feelings. Because when we can share those feelings, exchange them, wow, it sounds like you're really frustrated about that. Or, man, you look like you're really encouraged by the report you got. Those are feelings, and they really connect on a deeper level.
And as parents, we want to be careful to not just expect our children to share their feelings, but also be willing to share our feelings as well. And I think that's an area some parents are challenged in. They get frustrated their kids won't share their opinions, their feelings. But I think as parents, we want to be transparent as well. Use emotional words in our vocabulary so children become more accustomed to hearing them and maybe then using them. If the child doesn't hear emotion words, they're not going to be so quick to use them themselves. So as parents, we want to talk about our own emotions and use that as a point where children can start sharing their emotions as well.
Now, the fifth level of communication is the deepest kind of communication you can have with a person, and that's a spiritual communication where you're praying together, you're worshiping together, or you're sharing spiritual insight together. When you connect on a spiritual level with another person, that is the deepest kind of communication that you can enjoy with that other person. So if your child's open to that, you might want to interact about it. If not, you might just want to make some observations about what God is doing in your life, because you're looking for ways to connect emotionally. If your child ever comes up with some kind of a good spiritual insight, you want to acknowledge that, appreciate it, and move forward with that idea that your child's a brother or sister in Christ and that God wants to do something valuable in your relationship together.
We talk about these as five levels of communication. We may not always go down to the deepest level of spiritual sharing, but all five of them are important to be thinking about. Do you ever get to level five with a child? You may be looking for opportunities to do that. But you also may need to spend more time at levels two and three and four and just enjoying the different levels of communication with each one of your children.
The reason we're emphasizing relationships so much is because kids can only take as much pressure as the relationship allows. In the plan, as you develop it in the next several sessions, you're going to have some opportunities to put pressure on your child. We don't want to move to the pressure until we have significant relationship. Relationship is a great place to start, so look for ways to strengthen relationship as you continue to develop your plan. God is moving.